Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network, and Ms. Nancy Pearl is with us this hour. Nancy has joined us so many times over the years, and we all have. I was looking through some of my old papers and trying to clear some things out, and I found all of these book lists from Nancy Pearl that go way, way back. We've been chatting for a long time, and what wonderful recommendations she has given us over the years, and she will do the same today. And although it may be my last radio interview with Nancy, because I'll be retiring, Nancy and I are going to be in conversation in September. Nancy has a novel. She's been talking about it for some time now. It's coming out in September. George and Lizzie is the name of it, and we'll be talking about that book and other books at Boswell Books, and that will be, mark it on your calendars, actually you'll have to do something to get there, Saturday, September 9 from 7 until 8 p.m. It's going to be at Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, and you can get ticket information, and this is a good deal because the tickets are $29 and you get admission and a copy of Nancy's new book, George and Lizzie, and $5 of each ticket will be donated back to Wisconsin Public Radio. And there's a place for you to go, and Gretchen will give that to me because the print is really itsy-bitsy on this, but I want to make sure that I get it right. So we will give you a place to go so you can order tickets for that event. And if he is well trained, you know, I'm going to be training a therapy dog for my next event in life. And if he's good by then, if I'm good by then, I'm going to bring the puppy Finn to the event too, if it's okay with Daniel. He won't be sitting on my lap, but maybe he'll attend the event so you can meet him as well. So that should be fun. Nancy Pearl is just, she has read so much and she remembers so much. She has started these Booklust series in 2003. There's a librarian action figure. I have her with me now in the studio here. She started this program, If All of Seattle Read the Same Book. She became the 50th winner of the Women's National Book Association for her extraordinary contribution to the world of books. A few years ago, she's a regular commentator on NPR's Morning Edition and on NPR affiliate stations all over the country. And she compiled for us, just for us, a list, and we're going to go through it this hour, of books that we should read. And it starts with a Christmas book, maybe because she knew this was the last time we'd be talking on the radio, at least with me. So we're going to go through some of the books, and she's great. So if you want to join the conversation, and I know many of you will, the number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Great to talk to you again, ma'am.
Yes, I'm sad. I'm happy for you about your retirement, but sad for the listeners that you're not going to be there.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. But, I love dogs, and it's time. You know, if you're going to do something else in your life, You have to have enough years to do it. And my old dog died, and I really loved dogs. And then I was on the internet a couple days later looking for puppies, and I found the puppy, and now all I can do is see his face in my mind. And I know I'm ready for him. I'm ready.
So when do you get him?
Well, actually, we're going to see. Here we are talking about dogs instead of books. I'm sorry. We'll get to books in a minute. I'm going to see him a week from Friday. He's living in Minnesota right now, and he's not ready to leave, so he will be coming to our house long about August 12, August 13.
Wow.
I know. It's very, very exciting. Yeah. So it'll be a whole different life, but it's good. I'll just be talking to the dog now.
Well, since I think names are so important, and one of the things that I had the most fun with in my novel George and Lizzie is naming people. So what's a dog's name?
Well, you know, he's Portuguese. He's a Portuguese water dog, and No, it's okay. I was looking through Portuguese names, and then I thought, you know, I'm not Portuguese. I'm Irish, and my husband is half Irish and half Jewish, so I thought Murray would have been a great name because it can be both, you know?
Right.
Murray, I think it's a great name. But he thought it was too much like our dog Murphy. So so I'm going to call him, his full name is Finnegan, which I like the ring of it, and it's Irish, and we'll call him Finn because you need a short name for a dog, so it'll be Finn for short.
Right.
Is it okay?
Yes, that's nice, and it reminds me of a novel that I really loved.
Did you love that novel, Finnegan's Wake?
No. It's a novel called Finn and Lady.
Oh, thank you. I'll have to read that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's about a brother and sister, actually.
Huh.
And it's by one of my favorite authors, Kathleen, Shine, S-C-H-I-N-E,
okay.
is the author.
Okay.
So that's just my first recommendation. Yeah, Kathleen Shine, but she spells it with a C.
Okay, with a C. Thank you very much, Nancy. We got that written down. And you've done a novel. And we're not going to talk about it today other than it's coming out in September. And we're going to be at Boswell together. I'm reading it now. I won't say anything about it because I know people haven't seen it yet. But we're going to talk about it. And that'll be great.
That'll be great.
Yeah, we can drink coffee and talk to the audience and talk about your process of writing. I just think it's wonderful you've written a novel, Nancy, don't you?
I do. It was unexpected. And, and the sort of origin story, which we can talk about at Boswell's, is sort of fascinating.
Yeah, okay, good.
I think.
Good. It sure is. We'll get to it. Well, you were so kind as to write a whole list for us, and you started with, I don't know what got you thinking about Christmas in July, but what the heck? The Christmas Crocodile is number one on the list.
Well, you know, it's in alphabetical order, so it just turns out by author. So that, I'm a librarian, right? So they're alphabetical by author. And the first two books are actually children's books. So the first one is by one of my favorite children's book writers, Bonnie Becker, and she actually lives in Seattle, so I do know her.
Oh.
But it's illustrated by, I think, one of the top, certainly one of the top five illustrators for children's books, a man named David Small.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christmas the Christmas Crocodile is the story of a little girl named Alice Jane who finds a crocodile under the Christmas tree. And this crocodile doesn't mean to be bad, but he just can't help eating everything he sees, from the Christmas tree to the roast that they're going to have
for
dinner. So it's very funny. It's set in the Victorian period, so... and it's one of those great picture books that I think are as much fun for the adult to read with the child than as well as the child loving this book. And you have to look at the end papers, the last end papers of the book, because you get a little hint about what's going to happen next. And it's delightful.
Mm. You know, I hadn't thought about the role until just now. Of course, I have, but never deeply. The role of the illustrator, which is so incredibly important in a children's book, isn't it? That's what we look at. We see the picture, and then we read the script.
And the best children's books are really a total... You couldn't separate the illustrations from the text.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the author, Bonnie Becker, wrote the text, and then... David Small brought that text to life via pictures.
Do you know how to draw?
I do not.
Do you want to?
Well, you know, one year my younger daughter gave me for Mother's Day drawing lessons with a teacher. I sort of got a sense of how to do it, but I'm just not good at anything like that.
Yeah. Do you know the only D, I've told this story before, but I'm reminiscing these days. The only D I ever got in my life was in art class. Can you believe that? Art class. How can you give somebody a D?
I know. I can believe
it. In seventh grade. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. And I still remember my art teacher in elementary school was Miss De La Framboise.
Ooh.
And every year, and every year at the beginning in September, we had to, illustrate a folder for all of our artwork. And that was always just such a difficult assignment, you know.
I imagine.
So, you know, to come up with a picture or something. And I remember one of those years doing that thing where you color many different colors, and then you cover all those colors with a black pencil, a black crayon, and then you scrape off. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
I think that was in the fifth grade. I did that.
Oh, well, at least you write, and you write well, so look at that. That's all right. We don't have to draw. Number two on the list, before we go to phone calls, we'll get a few of these. Day yep. Wait, the legend of rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, so, you know, the game rock, paper, scissors, turns out it's a game that's played in many different countries all over the world. And this is one of those, this is just such a wonderful read aloud. And one of the things that I always say is that many people stop reading to their children once their children know how to read themselves. But I think that's really a mistake. And one of the best sort of growing together that a parent and a child can do is to continue reading together, reading aloud, even when the child is 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Just that sort of together time and sharing a book, I think, is very, very special. So I'm always looking for books that parents will enjoy as much as the kids will enjoy. Mm. And with The Legend of Rock, Paper, Scissors, it's the story of a rock, paper, and a pair of scissors who come together to kind of duke it out over who's best. Because neither one of them, in their own little parts of the house, ever gets beaten by anybody. So they're like the champions, but they're looking for somebody who could possibly be better than they are, and they come together to have this tournament, if you will. So this is a book that needs to be read aloud, and if you can manage it, it needs to be read aloud in that kind of voice as though you were announcing a motocross race, you know.
Of course.
And it is so much fun, and it too is illustrated by one of my favorite illustrators, a man named Adam Rex. It's great. I mean, it is just a hoot.
Good. So, all right, good. Do you think that adults should read to each other as well? I mean, we do that on Chapter a Day, which I think is terrific, right? Yes. Smack dab in the middle of the day. There's a great book and somebody's reading it. It's gone on for, you know, almost 100 years.
Wow. Yes, I think that's a great, I do. I think that, I just think, you know, I mean, my strong belief in book groups and things like that, it's all sort of that reading, whether you're listening to it or whether you're, you know, reading it on an electronic reader or whatever, it just opens up the world to you. And, and that reading out loud, knowing that somebody is telling that story, interpreting that story. I think it's wonderful.
Here's one that I know is right up your alley and convinced me to read it. It sounds good. If it's too gory, I can't read gory things. A tale of murder, greed, sex, economic, cyber terrorism, race, and urban decay, set in your hometown of Detroit, I believe, right? August Snow?
No, August Snow is just a thriller. Does it say all those subtitles? Because I never saw them.
No, it was describing the book. August Snow is the name of the book.
Okay, so August Snow, I loved this. This is one of the best mysteries that I've read in
really?
A long time. Mm. And I say that not just as someone who grew up in Detroit. And, you know, the thing is that you often hear people saying, oh, I'm from Detroit. But what they really mean is they grew up in one of the suburbs, the Tony suburbs,
right.
Either the east suburbs or the west, northwest suburbs of Detroit. But I have to say, I grew up in the city of Detroit, and I was there when the riots took place in 1968, and I'm a proud daughter of Detroit. And reading this novel, there was a point in this novel where I actually put it down and went to the computer and started looking up houses for sale in Detroit.
Oh, Nancy.
I know, and had this sort of passing thought. Maybe I could go be an urban pioneer, leave Seattle and be an urban pioneer.
And so, are you still thinking about it?
My husband said we're staying in Seattle.
Right. There's quite a difference, I think. And I've read from, I think it was David Marinus's book on Detroit, David's a great writer.
Yes.
That
yes.
was a good book, too, that you can
yes.
get some houses, and some of those areas are really flourishing for a pretty darn good price.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could buy Berry Gordy's old house in Detroit, but was for sale for a very reasonable price.
Huh.
I mean, just gorgeous houses.
Right.
But this is a mystery, and it's set in contemporary Detroit, and the main character is an ex-policeman who got fired from the police force because some investigation he was working on resulted in the mayor being sent to prison for malfeasance. So if you know your recent Detroit history, then you know that the former mayor, the immediately former mayor, is now in prison for malfeasance. So it's really drawing. I mean, it's a different malfeasance, but, you know, you sort of get the picture. And this guy, whose name is August Snow, sued the police department for unlawful termination of his job, won, and got a lot of money in recompense for that. And he goes away for a few years, comes back to Detroit, moves into the house where he grew up. He's half Mexican and half African American, and he gets a call. What he's decided to do is to use some of his money to rehab houses in his neighborhood, which I think is I just really liked August Snow. I liked the man a lot. But he gets a call from a woman who lives in one of the eastern Detroit suburbs, one of the Grosse Pointes, very exclusive part of the Detroit area, who asks him for help in finding out what's going wrong with the bank that her family owns. And that just sets the plot in motion. There's some violence in it. It's not as graphic as some of the thrillers or some of the mysteries
right.
that are being published now, but there is some violence in it. It's really, I think, set up for a sequel or two or three or four, which I hope he'll do. And I just thought it was great.
Mm. You like mysteries, don't you?
I like thrillers, I think. I do like that. But can I read you, the thing about August Snow that really blew me away is that it's so well written, it's so beautifully written, and you don't look for great writing. You don't normally look for great writing in a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some...
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, so here's one quote. So August Snow says... So I return to a city where happiness is usually a matter of finding contentment in an unacceptable level of intangible fear, unfocused loathing, and unexplainable ennui.
Mm.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
But this is even, I think, better. He's describing a part of Detroit, and he says, to the right off of westbound Jefferson Avenue, there were still neighborhoods that served as the gateway to hell, where black children cowered in the corners of abandoned houses, reading books stolen from school libraries by the last light of day, places where the devil was fed his daily dinner by a state that hated its largest city and a country that unctuously pitied those who lived there.
Ooh.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it is. It's very good.
Yeah.
All right, you might convince me on that, but for sure you convinced me because I like these... thrillers with a bit of espionage with the KGB, and this next one sounds really good to me.
Yeah.
Cannon, Defectors.
Yep, and Joe Cannon is one of my go-to writers I always put everything aside when he has a new book out, and Defectors, I think, is one of his best. People might know his name because his first novel, a thriller, was called Los Alamos and was set...
Right.
In Los Alamos in 1945. This book, Defectors, is set in 1951, and it's a story of two brothers. One of the brothers was a very was high up in the CIA, and unbeknownst to anyone, he was a spy for the KGB. And when it became clear that he was going to be found out, he defected to Russia and is now living there, and he gets permission from the KGB to write his memoirs.
Mm.
And as he's writing them, he realizes that he needs some assistance. And so he asks his older brother, who is an editor in New York, to come to Moscow and help him with to edit the book for him. And once his older brother gets there and the two brothers are together, really the reader and the brothers find out that neither one is who they think they are.
Ooh.
So it's quite good and just a real page-turner.
Ooh, and particularly in light, it's good to have something to go to be informed but a little distracted by all the Russian connections going on now, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it also has, one of the things that I like about the whole spy novel genre is that it has real people intermixed with the invented characters.
Mm-hmm.
So Philby and Burgess and MacLean, the three great British Cold War spies, are also characters in the book.
Oh, good. So my husband, the John le Carré fan, will like this book too.
Yes, but be sure to tell your husband that there's a new John le Carré coming out this fall.
Oh, there is?
Yep.
Ooh, say that.
And it has George Smiley in it.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, good. Okay, there's a present for him. As long as you hear about it.
Check it off.
I know, check it off. We're going to welcome phone calls. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour, a librarian, extraordinary librarian, and she's got a novel. And we're going to be at Boswell on September 9th. At what time of day is it going to be? It's in the evening, I know, 7 to 8, right? 7 to 8 that day. Now, it's a good deal because you can, you know, we're going to be in conversation about her new book. George and Lizzie is the name of her novel. So Nancy has a novel. It's great. And we'll be talking about books as well. Tickets are $29, and you get a copy of George and Lizzie, plus $5 of that will be going to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'll already be retired, but I wanted to keep this commitment because I like Nancy and I like Daniel and I like Boswell and I like books. So how can you have a better night than to be there? So here we've got an address now. You should go if you want more information about all of this to Nancy Pearl MKE. That's Nancy Pearl P-E-A-R-L MKE dot Brown Pape B-R-O-W-N-P-A-P-E-R. Tickets, that's altogether.com. All right. Or call easier, 800-838-3006. 800-838-3006. Need a book recommendation? Well, also, we got through 5 books. We have 10 on the list, so we have more. Oh, no, we only got through 4 books, didn't we? So we have 6 more books to go that Nancy will tell us about the book she compiled for us. Any questions you have, recommendations you need, our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour, wonderful librarian. She's a best-selling author. She's written all of these Booklist series, which give recommendations, many, many recommendations. You should look those up if you've never seen them. She's a book reviewer for NPR and for stations all over the country, has been with us for many years, and was the former executive director of the Washington Center for the Book at Seattle Public Library. She's the one who came up with the idea of if all of Seattle read the same book, so it's happened in places all over the country. And she's here to give recommendations. She has a list for us, which we will put on our Facebook page, but if you have specific questions and a desire for recommendations of a specific kind of genre, Nancy is your person. The number here to call is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. We go to Marty in Douglas County for our first caller. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Kathleen and Nancy.
Hi, Marty.
Kathleen, congratulations on retiring, but I'm sure we all burst into tears when we heard you say that earlier in the show. But here's maybe something you can do with Finn. Up here in the Superior area at the Superior Public Library, for years they've had a program called Pause to Read, P-A-W-S.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you're familiar with that. A therapy dog is comes in once a month, and kids who have trouble reading out loud can come in and read to the dog. The librarian puts together, the couple of times I've been there, she puts together books about dogs, of course, to read, and it's been a great program. Perhaps you can get your book, library, and dog fix all in one if it turns out to be that kind of a good therapy dog.
That sounds like a really good idea.
I'm wondering if Nancy has ever heard of this program, if something like that is, if she's familiar with this. And congratulations, good luck. When will we be losing you? I need to know that.
Oh, Marty, August 10th will be my last broadcast.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
it's not tomorrow.
So soon.
I thought you were thinking it's far away.
No.
Yeah, August 10th.
Good luck, congratulations.
Thanks, Marty. Yeah. Thanks, Stan. I've enjoyed all your calls. Nancy, are you familiar with such programs?
I am. Many libraries are doing that, and I think it's just great. Yeah, the first place I saw it being done was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, I believe at the Jackson Public Library. That's what my memory is telling me. But Kathleen, I know you know this book because of the program tomorrow that you're doing. Sam Quinones' book, Dreamland.
Yes.
The True Tale of America's Opiate Epidemic, that won the National Book Critics Circle Award last year. Just a fabulous work of nonfiction.
Great. I have not read that, but we should... No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
No, Kathleen, put it on your list.
Okay.
Read August 11th.
I thought it was going to be another How to Train Your Puppy book. I'm reading five of them right now. August 11th, I'll write that one down. The True Flag, this one sounds good. The True Flag, Theodore Roosevelt, Mark Twain, and the Birth of the American Empire.
Yeah, so... Kinzer, whose name just went out of my first name went out of my
wait, head. I got it here somewhere. It's Stephen.
Oh yes, Stephen with a PH. Stephen Kinzer is one of my favorite writers of nonfiction history, and he's very liberal. So if you want a kind of left wing fix on American history, Stephen Kinzer's the person to read. And The True Flag, this is such an interesting period in American history when we were trying to figure out, you know, what kind of country this was going to be. You know, we had more than 100 years. This is in the late 19th century, early 20th century. And... you know, here were two people in strong opposition who had very different views of what the United States should be. Theodore Roosevelt, the true imperialist, all of that about, you know, our role in the world, and Mark Twain, who spoke very forcefully against that view. I just love Stephen Kinzer, and he's another author who's given me just great enjoyment and information. You know, I always feel much better equipped to think about a particular historical topic after reading his books. One of his books, which I know I talked about on the show before, is on the Dulles brothers, and that's a very interesting book as well.
Yes, great, good. The next one, now see, I don't know if I could read this one or not, but I know people can. This is Rage Against the Dying, Becky Masterman. I can't read this one, can I?
What?
Because it's too violent.
Too,
it's about a serial killer.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing.
All right.
They're just really, they're great. This is the first in a series of so far three. The third one just came out earlier this year. And the first one, Rage Against the Dying, introduces the series heroine, if you will, Bridget Quinn. And she is a retired retired FBI agent. She's retired, Kathleen. She's in her 60s. And she... I mean, when is the last time anyone has written or any of us have read a novel in which the main character in a thriller is you know, over 35?
Yeah, I know. You're right.
So Bridget Quinn is just a fascinating character. She spent her career with the FBI in undercover work. So really, she changed, you know, she had to become a person who fit in with whatever group or whatever case she was investigating. And so she's not sure anymore who she really is. And she is living in Arizona. She's married a widower who was at one time a priest. So you can see how all of these interesting things come into it. Again, there are some, I call them grungy parts of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some gore. Not nearly as much as you find in, for example, Lee Child's, especially Lee Child's recent thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely not as much as Galbraith, a.k.a. J.K. Rowling's thrillers.
Oh.
Featuring Cameron Shrike, I think his last name is. So, you know, yeah, there's violence and there's some gore. But I think that just sort of Bridget Quinn is herself such an interesting character, and her, you know, her attempts to figure out who she really is and who her husband thinks she is. I mean, how successful she's been in fooling him, because she spent her whole life trying, her whole career anyway, trying to fool people. I really like these books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell. Okay. All right. Good. I love the cover on this one from the picture I'm seeing. Finding Winnie, the True Story of the World's Most Famous Bear.
So who is the world's most famous bear? Obviously,
Winnie
the Pooh.
Pooh, right.
And so this is a picture book, but it's really for older readers, older being, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And their parents who loved Winnie the Pooh, anybody who loved the Winnie the Pooh stories should take a look at this. So it begins, takes place during World War I, and a young doctor from Canada, from Winnipeg, Canada, is on his way to Europe to take part in the war. He'll be a medic there. And at one train station, he sees a man with a bear, and he kind of falls in love with that bear in the little time that they have, and he buys the bear and names the bear Winnie after his hometown of Winnipeg.
Oh.
I know. Isn't it wonderful? And it's just so wonderful. And Winnie becomes the toast of his, you know, his group of people. Of soldiers, and he is just like their mascot. And then everybody realizes that, you know, they can't really keep Winnie any longer because of the situation with the war, and so they give him to the London Zoo.
Hmm.
And this is written by that man's, like, great-great-great-granddaughter.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and there's photographs, vintage photographs.
Oh, it sounds great.
It's just such a lovely, lovely book.
Yeah, we need some lovely, lovely things to read.
I know.
Yeah, nice. All right, we're going to welcome more phone calls. Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour, and let's go to Elaine in Colfax. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I have a book that I love. I just love. And when I love a book, I want everyone to read it. It's called The Orphan Master's Son. It's by Adam Johnson, and it's a fictional book set in North Korea with an ordinary young man who is actually quite extraordinary, and it really is an epic novel. You care about the characters. You get a sense of what it's like for an ordinary North Korean, and you also get the contrast of Commander Ga, a character, which shows you the elite in North Korea. And for me, fiction often is inspiration to understand a culture more than just a story that's factual. It gives me a kind of, a sense of the place in an emotional way. And so every time I see a story about North Korea, I zoom in, and I'm really listening because of this book. And I just really, I think people would love this book. And I wonder if your guest has read it.
I did read it, and I have to say that, your description of what you like about fiction and why you read fiction as opposed to nonfiction about, if there were a nonfiction book about North Korea, what that would be, what the difference would be. And I think that what fiction does is give you, as you pretty much said, the emotional truth of a place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this book did. This won the Pulitzer Prize in 2012, and it's very powerful. It's, I would say, just amazing writing. It's very, very disturbing.
Hmm.
I mean, it doesn't pull any punches, particularly that the opening scenes, which I found difficult to get through.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it disturbing, Elaine?
Yeah, I definitely did. I've actually had some nightmares, but I feel like it's very important for us as Americans to understand what people live in a kind of profound dictatorship where a cult of a leader is so pervasive to their every movement, and the fear and paranoia in the people and the violence that is so casual. I don't think the violence is something that is gratuitous.
Right.
Or sensationalist. I think it's very important to get a real sense of the place. And I'll never, never hear a story about North Korea without thinking of this book.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, I would totally agree. The violence is not gratuitous. It's an essential part of the book. But I would say that another really interesting view of North Korea can be found in a series of mysteries by a man named James Church, and they're the Inspector O books, and they're great. I mean, you know, this guy is a policeman in North Korea, and this is what his life is like, you know, in that sort of craziness of North Korean society. The first one in that series is called A Corpse in the Koryo. K-O-R-Y-O.
Hmm. Okay, thank you both. Thank you, Elaine, and for adding to the list. Thanks, Nancy. We're going to welcome more phone calls for Nancy, and we have three more books that she recommends for you, this list she put together for Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll talk about those. If you have books that you've just loved that you would like to mention, please do that. If you need a recommendation of a children's book or a young adult book or a fiction or a nonfiction, I got to tell you, this woman knows books like nobody else. So she's the expert. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We have some emails to get to, which we will do in a moment. And you can also, we'll have the list on our Facebook page a little bit after we're off the air. So that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. And that's that. So more phone calls, more conversation, more books in a moment on the Ideas Network. All right, next on Nancy's list, before we go to many phone calls that are coming in, Lion.
Oh, my gosh. This is a wonderful novel.
Is it?
It's just amazing. It's the story of a town called Lyons in the high plains of Colorado. And Lyons is quickly becoming a ghost town. So the characters in this book are the lives of the last 11 people to live in this tiny, tiny town. The writing is just gorgeous. And I have to just read you this excerpt. Really, anyone who loves to read books where you feel like you're there, like you could, you know, you kind of know your way around the town just from the way the author describes it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book for them. And so here's an example of her, of Bonnie Nadsam's writing. These days, everyone's gone. If you were to take an unmarked county road off the highway and drive north an hour, if you could find the place, distinguishable by its high rusted water tower and abandoned sugar beet factory, you could stand in the middle of Jefferson Street and hear each note from each barn swallow floating through the air like a globe of silver.
Mm-hmm.
In the silence between, blood is singing in your ears.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You know, it focuses on a young couple who are teenagers at the beginning of the book when we first meet them. They're seniors in high school. They're in love. They're planning to go away to college together. And then something happens, and Walker, the young man, changes his mind, feels that he has another duty to do that comes before that. And so their relationship, their dying relationship, is really in a nice harmony with the dying town. Amazing book.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
We go to Karen next in Appleton. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for the show. I love fiction that is about sort of rich, quirky characters. And I think my favorite author along that line is Anne Tyler. Mm-hmm. Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant, absolutely my favorite book of all time. Can you recommend other authors that write in that same genre that she does? She just doesn't write enough books.
Yes. I agree. And I would also say that her earlier novels and her middle period up until including Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant, those are my favorite of all of her books. I mean, that whole series, The Clockwinder and Searching for Caleb is just another fabulous novel by her. At the risk of sounding self-promoting, I have to say that one of the reviews of my novel, George and Lizzie, calls it Tyler-esque.
So, that's nice.
Yes. So, and that there could not be a higher compliment.
Really?
Since I love Anne Tyler's novels so much. So another writer who I think does a good job of doing that is Michael Chabon. Especially his newest novel, Moon Glow. Well, not necessarily especially, but his newest novel, Moon Glow, I think does that kind of thing very well. Early Barbara Kingsolver, like The Bean Trees.
Yes, I read that.
You know, I think mm-hmm. does that. In some ways, although he takes it much further on the quirky scale, is John Irving, especially again his Hotel New Hampshire, Garp, that whole period, A Widow for 1 Year. That whole period, I think, you know, on the scale of quirky characters, if you have Anne Tyler, you know, kind of to the left, John Irving takes it way to the right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Family Fang, F-A-N-G, by Kevin Wilson. It was made into a movie, but I would ignore that part of it and just try the book. I would try those.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is your book out officially in September, Nancy?
Yeah, September 5th is the pub date.
September 5th, you can find it in the bookstore then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and you could pre-order it, too, at the bookstore.
Okay. Let's go to Tanya in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tanya.
So I read Three Cups of Tea, and that's kind of like that previous caller of the North Korean book. Very interesting. That's the kind of books I like, and I was kind of curious on what you thought about that book, especially in this age where people are so prejudiced against the Muslim community, and that book just sheds so much light and compassion on their world. I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah, I think my feelings about that book were influenced by all the information that came out later. That it was in many ways a fake. So, you know, it's hard sometimes to separate the book itself from everything else.
Oh, right, I remember that story now.
You know, that goes on around the book.
Right, right.
But he had to go to the Today Show and apologize, all of that sort of public kind of mea culpas. But a book that I think was just amazing to me is a book by a man named Hisham, M-A-T-A-R is his last name, and it's called The Return, and it's about a man who goes back after many, many, many years to Libya. And this is a book that won the Pulitzer Prize as well, and for nonfiction. His father, who was very active politically in the country, was arrested and disappeared in prison while Hisham and his mother were out of the country. Hisham was actually in school in England. His mother was in Egypt, I believe. And it's about exile, and I'll speak for myself. I know very little about Libya. You know, what do we all know? We know about Benghazi, the attack. And this is a book that really, like Three Cups of Tea, brought that area to life. This is a book that brings that country and its turbulent, tragic history to life. And you know, one of the things I think that Americans, we tend to think of Africa, the continent, as though it were one country. And I think it's so important for us as readers and as citizens of the world to read books from fiction or nonfiction from the different countries in Africa. And there are great ones.
Thank you very much for your call, Tanya. Lee from Madison sends this email, Nancy. Have you heard, Nancy, of the children's book, The Pot with the Hole by Prem Rawat?
I have not.
I'm sorry Lee didn't call in, because I haven't either. So now we've heard of it, but we don't know anything about it. Yeah. Thank you, Lee, though. We will check into that. We're going to make it all the way through the list here, huh? Design for Dying, number 9.
So Design for Dying is what we would call in library bookstore world a cozy mystery. That is, whatever violence there is in the book, whatever killings there are in the book, are off stage.
Mm-hmm.
You never read them. So it's like one thriller writer described it as murder in a teacup. But this one is so much fun. It's the first of a series. It's written by a husband and wife who have chosen to make up another name.
Oh.
Renee Parker is what they write under. Renee Patrick, sorry, is what they write under. But this is set in 1937 in Hollywood. And the main character, one of the two main characters, is a young woman named Lillian Frost, who's come to Hollywood to get into the movies. And she's living with a group of women, young women like herself, all who want to get into the movies. And one of them is killed. And Lillian Frost recognizes the dress, the gown that she's killed in, because she saw it in a movie, a Paramount movie. And so that brings in the director, the head of costume design, the head of costuming for Paramount Pictures, who was no other than Edith Head.
Oh.
So you have Lillian Frost and Edith Head solving mysteries. What could be better? I mean, these are just frothy and so much fun.
Good. In the final one, we have less than a minute,
yes.
Dissolution.
Okay. Dissolution, great historical mystery series. There's 6 of them. The Dissolution is the first one in the series. Each one is set during the reign in chronological order of Henry VIII, each one during a period with each of his wives in turn.
All right, Nancy. Well, thank you so much for all the years of great suggestions, and I'll just listen to you on NPR and other places and look forward to seeing you, ma'am, on September 9th. We'll have a good time.
Let's not say goodbye.
All right. We'll have dinner maybe or something first.
Yeah.
That'd
be
good. All right.
Okay.
Good, Nancy.
Okay.
See you September 9th. Nancy and I will be at Boswell Books on September 9th. Her new book will be out by then, George and Lizzie. It is her novel. She spent a long time and told us about it when she first started her novel some time ago, and now it's out. And so you'll be able to listen to Nancy talk. I'll be with her. If the puppy's good, I'll bring Finn along as well. And it's $29, and that gets you the book and the talk. And then a $5 donation goes to Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's not only informative and fun, but a worthwhile event for you to attend. And to get more information, you can go to nancypearlmke.com. Brown paperback, paperback. Let me take that over. Nancy Pearl MKE dot brownpapertickets.com. And it gets, you get a copy of the book then as well. Or call 800-838-3006. Thanks to Gretchen Brown for producing this program. And thanks to Nancy Pearl for being our guest for so many years. And thank you for all of your calls and for reading books and for your book suggestions as well. News is coming up.